Welcome to the NTEB Prophecy News Podcast with your host and Bible teacher, Jeffrey Greider. Rightly divided, dispensationally correct, and standing on the authority of the King James Holy Bible, this program is brought to you by NowTheEndBegins.com.
And good afternoon, happy Monday, everybody, and welcome to this edition of the Prophecy News Podcast. Today, the New World Order is reloading for round two, so you better buckle up for what's coming in 2023 Skidoo. Today in the podcast, we're going to do a little prognosticating about what 2023 may or may not have in store for us. We will base this on not baseless conspiracy theory, but on what actually did transpire in the time period we are now calling round number one, the years 2020 through 2022. The New World Order is not retreating. In fact, they appear to be reloading. Are you ready for what comes next? Everybody's favorite obscure prophet Habakkuk chapter 1 verses 16 and 17. Therefore they sacrifice unto their net and burn incense unto their drag, because by them their portion is fat and their meat plenteous. Shall they therefore empty their net and not spare continually to slay the nations? That's a pretty good question. On this episode of the Prophecy News Podcast, Jared Kushner and Elon Musk were just accidentally, intentionally spotted hanging out together at the World Cup finals in Qatar. I wonder what that means. It means something. Speaking of Jared Kushner, he just started Affinity Partners hedge fund that opened its doors with $2 billion in petty cash on day one of operations. I wonder where all that cash came from. Not really, though. Here's a fun fact. Did you know that the Kingdom Holding Company and the private office of Prince Al-Waleed bin Talal are the second largest investors in Twitter? It's true. Now, I wonder what all these seemingly unrelated items have to do with each other. Well, I don't really wonder. I know. Did you know that the New York Times published a swastika-shaped crossword puzzle to celebrate the first day of Hanukkah? They did. And what about the Spartan virus and Mein Kampf? What could they possibly have to do with each other? Man, oh man, you better get ready for round two with the New World Order coming soon to a theater near you in 2023, and you heard it here first. All this and more on the Prophecy News Podcast today. Heavenly Father, we come before you and we ask for your blessing on today's program. And Lord, you know all about the New World Order. It's in your book. You know all about the one world religion of Chrislam and the end times actors and the five kings that are fallen and the one king that now is and the king that's coming. And even he is the part of the eighth, which was part of the seventh. As we looked at in our Bible study last night, you know it all, God. And we ask you, Father God, as we open up your scripture of truth today, that you would give us a special blessing from your word. And we pray for Annetta today. She had a stroke back in May, and she's recovering, she's recuperating, and she is asking for prayer for a complete healing so that she can walk again on her own. But she is making progress. Keep her in your prayers, please. Robert Wiley is battling ALS disease, and he needs prayer. Karen Robinson, her dad had a stroke a couple of weeks ago, and we're praying for him. And Karen, if you're listening, if you could give us an update on your dad, that would be great. Elena Blackburn is expecting. She's pregnant, and we're praying that the baby will be born at the proper time just fine. Jeanette's cousin, Andrew, he had a stroke, a lot of strokes. Andrew had a stroke and he's getting better. Please keep him in your prayers. Rob Beatty's colon cancer has come back and we're praying for him for a complete healing. We are praying for Clayton Perry, who's been battling cancer for the last 2.5 years, and praying for a complete healing for Clayton Perry. Ashley, pregnant, addicted to meth, and needs to get saved. And we're trusting that the Lord will take care of all three of those things. Amanda Mathias, she's having gallbladder surgery on the 23rd. That's in 4 days. Please keep her in your prayers. Kate, She needs prayers concerning her housing situation and an unspoken request. Mark Saxa would like prayer for his son Joseph, that he would return to the Lord. Brenda is praying for Paul, Daniel, and Bunny, that God would open their eyes and let them experience true and total peace through Jesus Christ. And Rita is asking prayer for her sister Ginny Glover, who recently had a bad fall. And I believe that Rita had a little bit of a fall as well. And we are praying for her as well. Shona says, hello, everybody. I am off work and I get to listen live to the podcast. Please keep my mother Eunice, as Alexander Scorby would pronounce it. Please keep my mother Eunice in your prayers. She had a stroke back in April, and we have prayed for her before, and we will continue to pray for her. Also, at the bookstore this morning, a man walked in off the street and asked how many people that that we have raised from the dead, because he claims that he is raising people from the dead. Evidently, it looks like the article that we published yesterday on the charismatic faker T.C. Bradley, the God-made millionaire, that is already beginning to rile people up. If you haven't read my article on the God-made millionaire, you need to go check it out. These fakers are constantly switching around their tactics and techniques. Do not fall for the absolute nonsense of the God-made millionaire. And don't send a seed to T.C. Bradley. If you have a $1,000 seed, instead of wasting it on T.C. Bradley, why don't you go and use it to get the gospel out? Why don't you use it to support foreign missionaries? But evidently, this article that we did yesterday is making some people mad. Charlton is asking, was he joking? No, he was not joking. So I said all that to say this. Please pray for the safety of everybody at Mudflower. But we lock our doors. Pray for the safety of the people at the bookstore. And they are wide open. It is the front lines of ministry. And we normally don't get people like that coming in through the door, but sometimes we do. So just pray for the people working at the bookstore, and pray for a hedge of protection about Mudflower, about the bookstore, about Now the End Begins, about the broadcast that we do. And Heavenly Father, for all these prayers and for the unspoken prayers of our hearts, we just come before you and ask you to work and move as only you can. And we commit this time. Amia says, please pray for me. I'm going to a disability doctor that will hopefully approve my early Social Security tomorrow morning because of what COVID did to my body, chronic fatigue syndrome. And so we're happy to pray for our sister Mia as well. Trisha just said, I deal with crazy people all day long, but we have security doors. Yes. And you have people with guns. And you certainly have a lot of protection where you are. We don't have any of that over here. So please pray for the safety of the people at the bookstore and at Mudflower. Heavenly Father, we just commit this day, this time to you, and ask you to answer these prayers according to your will for us, for your glory, and for our good. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, welcome everybody to the podcast today. Today, we're kind of going to do a little bit of a, what does 2023 have in store for us? And we're going to look at that today. And I hope it's going to be a blessing for you. We have a lot that we have to talk about. And I'm going to give you some things that seem like they might be unrelated, but in fact, they are actually highly related to each other. And one of the things that I want to talk about today, I want to talk about what happened in what I'm calling round number one. Round number one, and that is the time period of early 2020 to where we are right now at the end of 2022. And I want to start by reminding you of something. And you know what? This was something that I had forgotten about. We are only a couple of dozen articles away from 10,000 articles. So you'll have to forgive me sometimes if I forget about things that we've published because we're coming up on 10,000 articles. And I don't know how many of those articles, if it was you, how many of those 10,000 articles would you be able to recall off the top of your head? If you could recall all 10,000, well, God bless you. That's great. So from time to time, I will forget an article that we have done. And if I don't forget the article, I may forget some sort of a major feature about that article. So the first thing that I want to show you, and I talked about this last night on the Bible study. The first thing that I want to show you is this article that we did about something called ID 2020. And I titled this Vaccinations, Digital ID, and the Mark of the Beast. And the headline of the article was Big Pharma and Microsoft are teaming up in something called the ID 2020 Alliance that will combine vaccinations with implantable microchips to create your digital identification. Now, if you look at that graphic that I just posted in the chat room, and if you're not in the chat room, just go to Now the End Begins and type in ID 2020, and you will see exactly what I'm talking about. If you look at this graphic, it's a graphic that looks like it was created at the height of the pandemic. But when I went to the article last night, I was a little bit shocked and pleasantly surprised when I saw that the date of publication on that article was October 24th of 2019. So 1 week after Bill Gates held his Event 201, we published an article called Big Pharma and Microsoft are teaming up with something called the ID 2020 Alliance that will combine vaccinations with implantable microchips to create your digital ID. So that was not a pandemic article. That was published in October of 2019. So the one thing that I want to show you today is how very accurate that we have been. Ron Wooter just said that we have been consistently ahead of the news, and that is true. And we give all the honor and credit and glory to that, to God for leading us and guiding us. That's why we pray for every broadcast that we do. I don't know of any other End Times podcast that starts and ends every broadcast in prayer. And not just praying for the show, but praying for other people. As far as I know, we are the only podcast that does that. But maybe there's others. I hope that there's others. But the point of what I'm telling you, is when we did that article on ID 2020 in October of 2019, and I didn't realize that until last night. Then it began to dawn on me how consistently ahead of the curve that God has allowed us to be the entire time. So with that in mind, I want to take you back to the year 2016. I want to take you to a show, very, very popular show, called The X-Files. Now, I wasn't watching a lot of television back in the early 20-teens, but I know a lot of people who were very much enamored of the X-Files, with the X-Files. And back in 2015, the X-Files did a program called My Struggle. My Struggle. Does anybody know if I told you that I wrote a book called My Struggle, what book do you think that I would be talking about? You guys should know right off the bat, but I'll give you a minute in the chat room. If I told you that I wrote a book called My Struggle, what book would I be talking about? Jericho Daly just said Mein Kampf, and that's exactly right, Mein Kampf. And that is the book by Adolf Hitler that predicted the Holocaust and predicted what he would do to the Jews. I don't mean like a prophecy. Mein Kampf literally was Adolf Hitler predicting what he was going to do to the Jewish people if he ever got into power. And of course, history shows that Adolf Hitler got that power and did exactly what he said that he was going to do. Now, you're asking me, what on earth does Mein Kampf and Adolf Hitler have to do with the X-Files? Well, before you answer that question, I want to ask you a question. If you're asking me, what does Adolf Hitler and Mein Kampf have to do with the X-Files? What does the X-Files in 2015 have to do with the pandemic that started in 2020? Isn't that a much better question? And now I'm going to answer both those questions. I am going to play for you an audio clip from the 2016 X-Files program called My Struggle. And as you listen to this clip from the X-Files, it has not been altered. As you listen to this clip from the X-Files from 2016, and the name of this program was called My Struggle, take a listen to this, and then you tell me what's up.
Tad O'Malley has been making claims.
Claims about what?
You and everyone you know has a piece of DNA in your genome, put there without your knowing it.
Put there by whom?
Well, that's the question of the day.
This is an internet lunatic. You're not saying you believe him.
Hold on, Agent Einstein. You're talking to a scientist.
Forgive me, Assistant Director. It may sound insensitive, but the suggestion is pure science fiction.
What I'm saying, Agent Einstein, is that the facts, as I understand them, cannot be discounted out of hand.
No one has the right or the ability to tamper with your DNA.
Unless we gave them that ability.
When you say they're tampering with our DNA, that they're able to shut down our immune systems by the addition of something to our DNA.
Yes, but I don't know how exactly.
Or how it's being triggered.
I don't know that either.
Or why it's happening now. What can we possibly do?
We need to act quickly.
You were right about that.
Well, I was wrong about the science. I was wrong about what's causing it. Dead wrong, in fact.
But it's clearly a widespread failure of our immune systems.
Through gene tampering. A virus within a virus that was put there through the smallpox vaccine. It's what these men are calling the Spartan virus.
We have to figure this out. What's wrong with the science?
Okay. The Spartan virus removes the adenosine deaminase gene from your DNA. Removes the ADA gene and your immune system will simply vanish.
Yeah, but I'm not getting sick.
It's only a matter of time.
Okay, so how does it work? How does the virus remove the ADA gene?
A process called CRISPR-Cas9.
RNA and a protein cutting genes at exact locations.
Exactly, but in this instance used as a weapon.
The ultimate weapon. The ability to depopulate the planet. To kill everyone but the chosen.
By tampering with their DNA.
Through gene editing.
Why do such a thing and lie about it? Our own government.
Your own government lies as a matter of course, as a matter of policy. The Tuskegee experiments on black men in the 30s, Henrietta Lacks.
What are they trying to do?
That's the missing piece.
But it's not hard to imagine. A government hiding, hoarding technology for 70 years. At the expense of human life and the future of the planet. driven not only by corporate greed, but a darker objective.
The takeover of America.
And then the world itself, by any means necessary, however violent or cruel or efficient.
I hate to stop that clip right in the middle of it, but did you hear what that guy just said? Talking about CRISPR, talking about gene editing. Isn't that what Stefan Ulrich from Bayer Pharmaceuticals said that the mRNA technology is? It is gene editing technology. And did you just hear them say, well, what would be the purpose of doing this? You start with America, 15 days to flatten the curve. It spreads around the world. And what is the motivating force behind it? It is a global takeover.
By severe drought, brought on by weather wars, conducted secretly using aerial contaminants and high-altitude electromagnetic waves. In a state of perpetual war, to create problem, reaction, solution scenarios to distract, enrage, and enslave American citizens at home. With tools like the Patriot Act and the National Defense Authorization Act, which abridge the Constitution in the name of national security. The militarization of police forces in cities across the U.S., the building of prison camps by the Federal Emergency Management Agency with no stated purpose. The corporate takeover of food and agriculture, pharmaceuticals and healthcare, even the military in clandestine agendas to fatten, dull, sicken, and control a populace already consumed by consumerism.
And I encourage you all to go shopping more.
A government that taps your phone, collects your data, and monitors your whereabouts with impunity. A government preparing to use that data against you when it strikes. And the final takeover begins.
The takeover of America.
By a well-oiled and well-armed multinational group of elites that will cull, kill, and subjugate.
Happening as we sit here.
It's happening all around us.
The other shoe waiting to drop.
It'll probably start on a Friday. The banks will announce a security action necessitating their computers to go offline all weekend.
Digital money will disappear.
They can just steal your money?
Followed by the detonation of strategic electromagnetic pulse bombs to knock out major grids.
What will seem like an attack on America by terrorists or Russia.
An invasion of the U.S.
The Russians tried it in 47.
Everything that you just heard from that clip was from a 2016 episode of The X-Files entitled My Struggle or Mein Kampf, if you live in Germany. And when you listen to the end of that clip, what were they talking about? They were talking about the Russian takeover of America. And here we are at the end of 2022. After going through a global lockdown, mandated vaccinations, mandated boosters, and all this unbelievable stuff that we just went through, and when you got to the end of the lockdowns, what was the very first thing that happened? Russia invaded Ukraine. And what are we doing in America right now? We are fighting a proxy war with the Russians through Ukraine right now. So, if you were to grade that clip on circumstantial coincidences, it would be literally off the charts. That clip was so on the money, it's like somebody went back and tampered with it, but nobody tampered with it. You can Google that. You can go to YouTube. I don't know if the Xbox is streaming, the X-Files is streaming, but I'm sure that you can go to Hulu or Amazon Prime and go watch that 2016 episode of X-Files called My Struggle. But what an amazing, amazing, amazing coincidence. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge, nod, nod. What an amazing coincidence all of that is. Now, you heard Scully say that it is tampering with your DNA and that they're using CRISPR through a vaccine to edit your DNA. Well, isn't that exactly what Stefan Ulrich from Bayer Pharmaceuticals said last year?
ultimately, the mRNA vaccines are an example for that cell and gene therapy. I always like to say, if we had surveyed 2 years ago in the public, would you be willing to take gene or cell therapy and inject it into your body, we would have probably had a 95% refusal rate. I think this pandemic has also opened many people's eyes to innovation in the way that was maybe not possible before. Those that take the leap to drive innovation in a really meaningful way and invest and take the risk to invest in R&D will also attain sustainability by creating job security and creating prosperity for those that take the investment. I think this is really important also for these latitudes here.
Let me play this clip for you. This is a little bit of a semi-tongue-in-cheek mashup that I did last year. But I think if you listen to this with fresh ears, based on what I just played for you, then I think that everything that happened over the last 1,001 days of 15 days to flatten the curve will come into view for you. And it's important that we go over these things so that by understanding what has actually already happened, we might get a much clearer look at what is possible in 2023.
We're taking things that are, you know, genetically modified organisms, and we're injecting them in little kids' arms. We just shoot them right into the vein.
Delta Dawn, what's that flower you have on? Could it be a faded rose from days gone by? And did I hear you say he was meeting you here today to take you to his mansion in the sky?
Curfew is now in effect. All unauthorized citizens must stay indoors.
Tensions rise as we enter the 213th week of lockdown.
A grim new reality emerges.
COVID-23 has mutated.
Beginning thermal scan. Thermal scan normal.
A horrifying new development
new
today.
New data confirms the virus attacks the brain tissue.
Hey. Whoa! I'm immune!
Delta Dawn, what's that flower you have on? Could it be a faded rose from days gone by? And did I hear you say he was meeting you here today to take you to his mansion in the sky?
When I think about my dad growing up, I certainly think about that seriousness. But very few people get to see. He's funny, weird, and really playful.
God help us.
In 1981, HIV/AIDS was evolving rapidly and frighteningly. There was anger at the government's response.
When you got sick, you were gone fast.
It's affecting you now.
Yeah.
Why?
Post-traumatic stress syndrome.
When COVID hit, he became this target.
My dad said, we're going to get through this whole thing. And he's held that.
You don't do it because you want to make money. You don't do it for the glory. You do it because you care.
When you're involved in a race to stop a horrible disease, you always feel you're not doing things quickly enough.
Delta Dawn, what's that flower you have on? Could it be a faded rose from days gone by? And did I hear you say he was meeting you here today to take you to his mansion in the sky?
They're making our food out of people. Next thing they'll be breeding us like cattle for food. You gotta tell them. You gotta tell them.
Promise, Tiger. I promise. I'll tell the exchange.
Tell everybody.
Listen to me, Hatcher. You gotta tell them. Silent breed is people. We gotta stop them somehow.
Delta Dawn, what's that flower you have on? Could it be a faded rose from days gone by? And did I hear you say he was a meal?
ocean in the sky.
This is an historic moment. We have in this past year made great progress in ending the long era of conflict and Cold War. We have before us the opportunity to forge for ourselves and for future generations a new world order, a world where the rule of law, not the law of the jungle, governs the conduct of nations. When we are successful, and we will be, we have a real chance at this new world order, an order in which a credible United Nations can use its peacekeeping role to fulfill the promise and vision of the UN's founders.
Remember, stay safe, sane, and sanitized.
So there you have a nice little overview of everything that's taken place since the pandemic began. In case you're wondering, today is 1008 of 1008 days of 15 days to flatten the curve. And what does life look like on day 1008 of 15 days to flatten the curve? How about this? The Daily Mail is reporting that the New York Times is defending a swastika-shaped crossword puzzle that it published on the first night of Hanukkah and insists that it is a, quote, common crossword design. Now, do you think that's an accident? Do you think that a newspaper like the New York Times, don't you think that there's at least, I don't know, one, two, maybe three people in the New York Times organization that would have said, hey, don't you think it's a bad idea to publish a swastika themed crossword puzzle on the first night of Hanukkah, especially in light of all this stuff that's been going on with Kanye West and all this anti-Semitism and these trending hashtags, Kanye was right? Do you think that it is a coincidence that that happened with the New York Times on the very, very first night of Hanukkah? I don't think that was a coincidence, and I don't think that was an accident. I think that was absolutely 100% intentional.
That's right. You're not Hitler. You're not a Nazi. You don't deserve to be called that and demonized.
Well, I see good things about Hitler also. I love everyone, and Jewish people are not going to tell me. You can love, us. And you can love what we're doing to you with the contracts. And you can love what we're, what we're pushing with the pornography. But this guy that invented highways, invented the very microphone that I use as a musician, you can't say out loud that this person ever did anything good. And I'm done with that. I'm done with the classifications. Every human being has something of value that they brought to the table, especially Hitler. How about that one? Ari Emanuel, how you like that one? Hey, Ron, you going to do anything to fix Chicago? They want to separate and confuse the Christians and make us afraid to stand next to each other. A Christian can stand next to anyone. We can go visit R. Kelly in prison.
Now, isn't that interesting that here you have Kanye West, he's bragging about what a good guy that Hitler was and all the positive benefits that he brought to Germany, and he's talking about the Jewish cabal, the Jewish conspiracy, and then he says that we as Christians, hold on a second there, Kanye, don't say we as Christians after you just trashed the Jewish people and you started glorifying Adolf Hitler. Don't you dare say we as Christians, because whatever group that you're a part of, I'm not part of that group.
can go talk to Harvey Weinstein.
That's what Jesus did.
Yes, because Jesus can save everyone. And but if the Zionists can get us so afraid that they're going to do what they've been doing to me, attempting to put me in jail, freeze my accounts, smearing me on the media, you know, all of these things, you know, you put on the whole armor of God and they will not be able to break your spirit.
So there you have Kanye West, and he was defending and promoting Hitler, and he's trashing Israel and the Jewish people. So here we are on day one of Hanukkah, and the New York Times releases a swastika-shaped crossword puzzle that they're defending. They're defending, and of course they're lying when they say that that is a common crossword layout, because it absolutely is not. And what might we expect to see in the year 2023? Well, the other day, Elon Musk, who's been in the news just a little bit lately, he was photographed at the World Cup Finals in Qatar, and he was photographed there with Jared Kushner. Now, have you wondered why you haven't heard much from Jared Kushner lately? Have you wondered why he's been kind of off the radar and he's been kind of quiet? Could one of the reasons for that be that since leaving the White House when Joe Biden became president, Jared Kushner opened up a new hedge fund called Affinity Partners? And what has he done with his new hedge fund? He has linked himself to Saudi Arabia. He has linked himself to the money men from the Middle East. He has linked himself to Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman to the tune of $2 billion. So that photograph that went around and almost went viral yesterday, Jared Kushner and Elon Musk, what on earth is happening between those guys? Well, did you know that Jared Kushner, when he was working on the Abraham Accords with Mohammed bin Zayed, do you know that one of the main goals of the Abraham Accords, one of the absolute main goals, is to create a two-state solution in the Middle East by creating a state of Palestine side by side with the nation of Israel? And the first thing that Jared Kushner did when he left the Trump White House is he opened up his Abraham Accords Institute. And what does that institute do? Well, it works with partners in the Middle East and in Israel and in Saudi Arabia. It works with those partners to create the framework for a two-state solution. Now, you might say to me, why would Jared Kushner, a Jew who is working with Benjamin Netanyahu, why would he want to create a two-state solution? Because that is going to be one of the hallmarks of the New World Order. So let's make some predictions here. I believe that, and this is a 2 cents worth prediction, I am not saying this, thus saith the Lord. I'm not even going to use the Bible. I'm just simply going to give you my thoughts. I believe that we're going to see in 2023, we are going to see the beginnings of the two-state solution. I believe that will take place at some point in 2023. There are just too many things happening right now for that not to take place. Benjamin Netanyahu, a year ago, they were predicting which prison cell he was going to spend the next 10 to 20 years in. And they were trying to get him on these bribery charges and corruption charges and accepting all these gifts while he was the prime minister of Israel. 1 year ago, every single newspaper, including the Jerusalem Post, had article after article about how Bibi Netanyahu is going to be found guilty and he's going to wind up in a prison cell. Well, ha ha ha. The joke's on you. He is now the new prime minister of the nation of Israel. And here is the second part of my prediction about the two-state solution. I believe that Benjamin Netanyahu is ready to sign on the dotted line. I believe that Netanyahu, he knows, just like from the book of Daniel, Mene Mene Tekel Upartion, Netanyahu knows the writing on the wall, and Netanyahu knew what he was doing when he signed the Abraham Accords. Those Abraham Accords guarantee a two-state solution. And there is nobody at this point who is going to do anything at all to slow down the Abraham Accords. It's responsible for billions of dollars between Israel and their Arab neighbors in terms of trade and economic benefits and new marketplaces being opened up. So what I see happening in 2023, you're going to see the framework for the two-state solution. It is now it's been there the entire time. You are now going to see it publicly. And you are going to see Benjamin Netanyahu with carefully crafted language. And he's going to begin to explain why a two-state solution makes the most sense for the nation of Israel in 2023. Take a listen to this clip. And this is from Jared Kushner, and he was on an Italian program. This is about 3 months ago, talking about achieving peace and prosperity in the Middle East. Take a listen to this clip.
Good. Well, thank you very much for such a gracious introduction. And Prime Minister has been a great friend of mine over the years. And as I was getting into government, you helped me really understand a lot of the different dynamics in Europe and the region. And so I was very grateful for your friendship, and I still am. And so I wanted to thank you. I also want to take a moment to thank our organizer. I'd like to thank the Crown Prince for hosting this amazing summit, and His Excellency Yasser as well, and Richard Attias and his wife Cecilia for all you do to make this happen. So I just wanted to take a moment to thank you guys. So it's a lot of questions you asked, but I will say that the Middle East has gone from a place over the last 5 years where it was a hotbed of global instability, a place where countries all over that you mentioned were fearing that terrorism was being exported from, and a place where a lot of countries were spending a lot of military budget trying to figure out how to bring some stability. You had a civil war in Syria where 500,000 people, civilians, were killed. Iran was loaded with, on pathway to a nuclear weapon with a lot of funding that they were now paying to all the different terror groups. You had Libya was destabilized. You had Yemen was destabilized. And most frightening, ISIS had a caliphate the size of Ohio where they were beheading Christians and killing journalists and doing all kinds of terrible things. When President Trump came into office, we started looking at things differently and not focusing on the past. We focused on what the future could bring and how do we find common interests between people. And so the Abraham Accords peace that was made in 2020 has unleashed a lot of connectivity in a region that has so many amazing resources, not just, we think about natural resources like gas and oil, but also human talent. And you see this region now where Israel, which is a startup nation, and the UAE, which is a startup nation, and even Saudi Arabia, which is a startup nation, are starting to think about their future generations, their youth. They have plans as countries. They have a lot of strength. They have a lot of innovation. And I do think that you're going to see over the next decade a lot of progress and growth coming from this part of the world, as a lot of people in different countries are dealing with their own instabilities in different ways. So I've been quite positive on it for a while. And I would say the biggest lesson in a pretty frightening global set of problems that we face today is that when we were pursuing the Abraham Accords for years, whether you'd go on social media or you'd read, you know, the experts, they would say something was impossible and it couldn't be done, and it was destined for conflict and destined for non-breakthrough. And we achieved something that nobody thought could occur because we were optimistic and creative and determined. And the significance of what that breakthrough was is being felt every day. I think it's been more and more recognized in the West, where maybe because of COVID and politics, it was a little bit more ignored than it's been felt in this region. But seeing the fundamental coming together of the Jewish people and the Muslim faith, and now having that out in the open, and the exchange of business opportunities, the exchange of cultural experiences, is something that's bringing us all back to the root of our humanity and helping us find a foundational place to realize that we have a lot more reasons to agree with each other and work with each other than we do to fight with each other. As
so, I'll just stop Jared Kushner there for a second. Joel chapter 3, verse 2, I will also gather all nations and bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat and plead with them there for my people and for my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations and parted my land. You cannot create the two-state solution without parting the land of Israel. It can't be done. You can't do it. If you're going to create an official, recognizable nation called Palestine, you're going to have to take an enormous pair of scissors and cut the nation of Israel from top to bottom and split the whole thing in half. And that's exactly what Joel said would be the reason for the Battle of Armageddon. So, Todd just posted, I know Armageddon is after 7 years, but not sure if they will divide the land before or after the rapture. Well, this is what we're talking about today. And it is my understanding that the dividing of the land is going to start in 2023. Again, this is my opinion. I could be wrong, and if I'm wrong, I'll take that, no problem. But I really feel that what you're going to see in 2023, based on the things that have already happened, based on what the Bible says takes place during the time of Jacob's trouble, you are going to see in 2023 some things that are going to knock your eyes out, if you understand what the Bible means and says when it talks about the time of Jacob's trouble. Last night, we just finished our 7-part series on the 7-year time of Jacob's trouble. And we take you all the way from the start of Jacob's trouble with the opening of the first seal. And we take you all the way to the Battle of Armageddon at the second coming, when we come back with King Jesus to rule and reign for 1,000 years in the millennial kingdom. So I believe that 2023 is going to be the year where these people are going to step out of the shadows and they're going to make themselves known and plain. And I believe 2023 is going to be the year where Benjamin Netanyahu signs on the dotted line. He signs on the dotted line for the two-state solution. I want you to listen to what Danny Dannon, he's the former Israeli ambassador to the United Nations. I believe he was the ambassador from 2016 to 2019, and he is the head of World Likud. And Danny Dannon is he's very close with Benjamin Netanyahu. He's on the same page as Netanyahu. I want you to listen to what Danny Dannon said 2 weeks ago in Rome at the first ever Abraham Accord Summit. Take a listen to this amazing statement by Danny Dannon.
The Abraham Accords were the most unprecedented normalization agreements in over a quarter of a century. We all saw how they brought together the Jewish state of Israel and the moderate Arab countries of the Middle East in a historic agreement that many thought was impossible. I remember in many discussions in Washington, I was told the paradigm is first that you have to solve the conflict in Israel, and then you can speak about solving the conflict in the region. And we were able to change that paradigm. And we are very proud of that, that we fulfilled this wish. We all saw how the Accords built strong, stable bridges between countries and peoples that have served to stabilize the Middle East and have resulted in mutual regional prosperity. It is with this in mind that I bring good news from Jerusalem this morning. The newly elected Israeli government's first priority will be to increase signatories to the Abraham Accords. Prime Minister Netanyahu's first state visit will be to Abu Dhabi. And we hope that Riyadh will follow. The Abraham Accords were not built in a day. The hardest part was going public. We have been in contact with the Saudis for years. I personally worked at the UN on many initiatives to increase regional stability and security. It's just a matter of time before courageous leaders step out of the shadows and full peace is achieved between all the children of Abraham. I expect we will also see an agreement between Israel and Saudi Arabia within a year. Inshallah.
So there you have Danny Dannon from the Nation of Israel talking about the need for leaders to step out of the shadows. Well, one of those leaders that is in the shadows is the coming Antichrist. And we know that that stuff is right around the corner. So one of the things that I think we can expect to see in 2023, you are going to see the paperwork being drawn up and being drafted to create the two-state solution. Now, another thing that you're going to see that is going to come in behind the two-state solution, you are going to, because one of the things that they're going to have to give to Israel, in order to sweeten the deal, is they're going to have to give the nation of Israel the ability to rebuild their temple. I really don't see that anybody in Israel would agree to a two-state solution without also having all parties agree that the Jews would now be allowed to rebuild their temple. Do you remember 2 weeks ago when Joe Biden traded the Merchant of Death arms dealer Victor Bout for the basketball player who was being held in a Russian prison? And the main thing that everybody was up in arms about that trade was that the trade was not balanced. The trade was not fair. What would have been a fair trade for Victor Bout would have been Paul Whelan. That would have been an equal trade. That would have been a fair trade. But to trade Victor Bout for Brittany Griner, that is a very disproportionately unbalanced, unfair trade to make. That doesn't make any sense at all. So if you're going to have the nation of Israel finally agreeing to the two-state solution, somebody on the other side is going to say, well, if you do this, we're going to give you the ability to rebuild your temple in Jerusalem. So if 2023 is the year that we're going to see the open construction of the two-state solution. It also seems logical and probable to me that you're going to see Israel beginning to talk about rebuilding their temple along with the two-state solution. And all of that is going to be made possible by the Abraham Accords. Turn to Isaiah chapter 28. Turn to Isaiah chapter 28, and I'll show you the Netanyahu government. I'll show you the start of the time of Jacob's trouble. Isaiah chapter 28, starting in verse 13. Isaiah 28, starting in verse 13. But the word of the Lord was unto them precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little, that they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. What is Isaiah talking about? Wherefore, hear the word of the Lord, ye scornful men that rule this people, which is in Jerusalem. Why? Verse 15 says, because ye have said, we have made a covenant with death, and with hell are we at agreement. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us, for we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehoods have we hid ourselves. Isaiah is talking about a covenant that is going to be made by a group of men that run the nation of Israel in the end times. Why would Isaiah say, ye scornful men that rule this people? Why wouldn't he talk about the king and his kingdom? Because Isaiah is looking forward to the 21st century, where Israel does not have a king, where Israel is ruled by a parliamentary board of men. And that's exactly how Israel is set up in 2022. They don't have a king. You know, everybody talks about when the Jews were regathered on May 14th of 1948. Everybody talks about how they were regathered back in the same place, and they're using the shekel, and they're speaking Hebrew. But you know what everybody forgets to mention? That when Israel was regathered back in 1948, they were regathered without a king. Israel is never supposed to be without a king. Israel is never supposed to be numbered among the nations, but they are. They're part of the United Nations. So when Israel was regathered in 1948, they were not regathered to be regathered. They were regathered to be scattered. And what do I mean by that? For the last 2,000 years, Israel has not been a nation. But the prophecies that still have to be fulfilled are regarding the nation of Israel being scattered. So what did God have to do in 1948? He had to regather the nation of Israel so the prophecies concerning their final scattering could be accomplished. Isn't that an amazing thing? Doesn't that just blow your mind? That God regathered them so he could scatter them to fulfill prophecy. Turn to Luke chapter 21. Turn to the Gospel of Luke chapter 21 in your King James Bibles. And let's look at verses 20 through 22. And when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains. And let them which are in the midst of it depart out. And let not them that are in the countries enter therein too. For these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. Isn't that an amazing thing? Israel does not have a king. They were not regathered under the authority of a king. They were regathered under the authority of worldly leaders of the United Nations. And that does not count as a biblical regathering. And to prove that point, God is going to scatter them one last time. And unless you're a preterist, you know that what I'm telling you is gospel truth, because that is exactly what's coming next. Let's take a listen to this clip from Ben Shapiro. Now, a lot of us have watched him debate other people, and we've marveled at what a great brain that Ben Shapiro has and how smart he appears to be. Well, Ben Shapiro posted a clip yesterday, and he kind of showed that he's really not that smart at all. What do I mean by that? Take a listen to this clip that I've entitled, Ben Shapiro, Not So Smart After All.
We were lied to by the scientists. We were lied to by Pfizer. We were lied to by the government. We were lied to by the Biden administration. We were lied to. I don't like being lied to. I don't know about you. And it makes me not believe these people. Now, as I've spoken out before, I got vaxxed twice, or I'm double vaxxed. My wife being a doctor and seeing vulnerable patients is triple vaxxed. But knowing now what I know then, would I have actually gotten vaxxed based on the information that my actual chances of death from COVID were exorbitantly low, and I wouldn't be preventing my parents from getting it? That was really what I was concerned about, because we were bubbled with my parents. Would I have gotten it? I don't know. I really don't know. I think maybe not, because again, my personal risk when it comes to the vaccine was extremely low when it came to COVID. I'm a young, healthy male with no pre-existing conditions.
So there was a clip that Ben Shapiro posted just yesterday, and turns out he's not so smart at all. He's coming to a conclusion that every single person here at Now the End Begins understood 2.5 years ago. And all the articles that are coming out now about all the cases of myocarditis and pericarditis and all the cases of blood clots and all the cases of people just spontaneously dropping dead and all these athletes that are just dying while they're engaging in their sport on the field. We told you about this 2.5 years ago. And Ben Shapiro just figured this out yesterday. Well, I don't think he's nearly as smart as he thinks he is. But again, some of the most educated in terms of the end times people on the face of the earth are right here at Now the End Begins, because we tell you the truth and we tell it to you from the very beginning. And that's one of the things that I love about this ministry, is that I get to do these broadcasts and give you information that you need to know about the times that you live in, and information that is, it's game changing. It's absolutely game changing. So here you have Ben Shapiro. He has a multi-million dollar podcasting company. Somebody invested $5 million to launch his podcast, and his company is worth $100 million right now. I can only just fantasize what Now the End Begins could do if we were worth $100 million or $10 million. The type of things that we could get done for worldwide missions and global evangelization, and man, if we had $10 million, we would have a 50,000 square foot warehouse with Bibles, and we would have our own delivery company. But suffice to say that Ben Shapiro, very, very smart, very, very successful, and yet he only figured out yesterday that maybe they lied to us about the vaccines. Just a quick reminder, I just want to do a quick little commercial for the bookstore. If you go to BibleBeliever.com, we are right in the middle right now of the biggest sale that we've ever had. And I just got to be honest with you guys, we are getting close to the end of our supply of the wall calendars. And we have passed the halfway point. We've only been selling them for the past 3 days, but we are more than halfway gone with our supply of the NTEB 2023 wall calendar. So I don't want anybody to be disappointed. If you're thinking about getting one of these amazing wall calendars, please go to BibleBeliever.com and get yourself a calendar, because they're going to be gone by Wednesday or Thursday if this keeps up. And I praise the Lord for that, but I don't want to see people not get a calendar. Papa Tassin is asking, what is the Bible giveaway count as of today? We are 3,200 Bibles away from hitting 100,000 free Bibles that we have given out. We are 3,200 Bibles away. I just got a text message from the chaplain at the jail in Nevada. And he wrote to me this morning thanking us for the cases of Bibles that we just sent him. I don't have the number right in front of me, but Roy Bell put me in touch with that guy, Chaplain Julio, over at the Nevada prison, and they got those Bibles last week. Chelsea is asking 3,200 more Bibles to go. That's exactly right. So please pray that we will hit our goal of 100,000 Bibles. And if you have the ability to donate, please donate. And we need you to do that now, because I really want to hit this goal of 100,000 Bibles. In fact, I would love to go past 100,000 Bibles. So just go to nowtheendbegins.com and click on the donate buttons. They're on the right side of every article that we have. And help us. Help us come over to Macedonia and help us to hit 100,000 Bibles. And we would greatly appreciate that. So if you're just tuning in, Chelsea B says, I can't donate much, but every little bit counts. Let me tell you something, Chelsea. We have people who, on a monthly basis, every month, send $5 a month. And every time that I see those type of donations coming in, now don't get me wrong, we need large donations as well. We need the people who can donate $2,000, $5,000, $20,000. We absolutely need those people. But that's half of it. The other half are the people with a burden and all they can donate. I have had multiple people send me $1 in the mail with a beautiful handwritten note saying, this is all that I can afford, but I want to be part of this free Bible program. And let me tell you something, it takes everybody. I'm talking about the people who have a lot of money, people who have a little bit of money, and people who can only send in $1. It takes all of those people, and it takes people praying that we can get this done. And I don't know about you, but I'm absolutely flabbergasted that we're even talking about reaching 100,000 Bibles. 100,000 Bibles. That is 10 times the amount that we did last year. Now, if you were to ask me, what do I think revival looks like? That's what revival looks like. I have a stack of letters that people have sent me, and that stack is literally about 2.5 feet high. It is hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of cards and letters, and I save just about all of them. And when I read what people write, that's revival. That's revival. Jericho Daily just said, 1 million Bibles, here we come. Well, that's going to be our New Year's Eve broadcast. We are going to at least take a shot at 1 million Bibles starting in 2023. So if you're looking for real revival, we have it here at Now the End Begins. We don't have phony signs, miracles, and wonders. And when you donate to Now the End Begins, it doesn't pay you back here, but it's going to pay you back at the judgment seat of Christ. And it is my hope and my prayer that in 2023, we are going to go well past 100,000 Bibles. And do I think it's possible? I think it's possible because if the Lord is in it, he can absolutely do it. It was the Lord that helped us to go past 10,000 last year. And it's the Lord that has us at 100,000 this year. So do I think that 1 million is possible? I absolutely 100% do. So, I got talking about the Bibles. I don't even want to go back to the podcast. All I want to do is just stay on the front lines and preach and teach and hand out Bibles and warn a lost and dying world that Jesus Christ is coming. Jesus Christ is coming. Karen says, I would just rather donate and let Now the End Begins put it to where it needs to go. That is the best way to donate, because we have a lot, yes, we have the free Bible program. Yes, we have Bibles Behind Bars, but we also have the billboard program. I have a brother named Eric who donated a couple of weeks ago, and we're going to be putting up a beautiful John 3:16 billboard in Bradenton. And he is very excited about seeing that billboard going up, and we are going to launch that billboard in January of 2023. So our free Bible program is our main program, but it is not our only program. Now the End Begins is 100% supported by you guys. And I love it when God's people band together to do the work of God in these last days. So we've been talking today about round number one of the New World Order. We've been talking today about all the things that they accomplished in the last 1,008 days of 15 days to flatten the curve. But there is on the horizon round two. They are gearing up for round two. They are reloading for round two. And that's where we're at today. And so I believe that in 2023, we are going to see the open manifestation of the two-state solution. We are going to see plans for Israel to start rebuilding the temple. And of course, we are going to see the triple-demic. And we are going to do not think for a second that this viral phase has come to an end. Let me play this clip for you about what they're working on right now. Take a listen to phase three of the U.S. triple-demic.
Phase three of America's so-called triple-demic tonight sweeping the nation with a vengeance and pushing hospitals to a brutal new breaking point.
We're seeing a very significant uptick of influenza.
Dr. James Snyder runs the critical care unit at Cohen Children's Medical Center in New York.
What about ICU beds? How are you on inventory?
We are very tight on a daily basis. We're working probably about 110, 120% capacity.
The staff there is scrambling, putting two kids to a room and setting up extra ICU beds in post-op areas. Nurse Lori McKee understands parents' fear.
I've been here for 31 years, and I have never seen this influx of children coming. I have three sons, and I've worked here their entire life, so it does definitely take a toll on me.
And tonight, new fears about holiday gatherings following a Thanksgiving flu surge. Look how much the numbers jumped. The CDC reporting 11,000 hospitalizations the week before soared to 19,000 Thanksgiving week and nearly 26,000 post-holiday. Patients like Juan Potter stunned by their symptoms.
The toughest part is the not breathing, the loss of breath.
And tonight, numbers show COVID is spiking, too, with nearly 500,000 cases reported last week. The state's hit hardest by respiratory illnesses here in red and purple. Tonight, officials in Seattle, Los Angeles, and New York issuing mask advisories, recommending them in public settings.
Cover up and, you know, stay safe so you don't spread the virus and potentially give it to someone else.
A silver lining, doctors say RSV cases are starting to decline. Meanwhile, parents struggling to find pediatric cold and flu medicine. Coast to coast, pharmacy shelves are bare. Doctors urging parents to keep kids home from school if they have a fever and take them to a hospital if they have trouble breathing. Knowing this latest phase of the so-called triple-demic has yet to peak.
And Maggie, it's still not too late to get the flu shot.
Jose, exactly right. In fact, doctors here at Cohen Children's Medical Center say every single willing patient gets a flu shot. So their plea, they say, get your COVID and your flu vaccines now and be protected in time for Christmas. Jose.
So that's what they're doing, and that's where everything is going. So we have lived through round number one. And let's just say, for the sake of argument, that round number one began on March 16th of 2020, with the 15 days to flatten the curve. And let's say that round number one comes to an end next week. 2023 is going to be the start of round number two. And people like Jared Kushner and Elon Musk and Prince Mohammed bin Zayed and Prince Mohammed bin Salman, you're going to hear a lot from these people in 2023. Another thing that you're going to see a lot of action with is with the nation of Africa. Take a listen to Bill Gates talking about what we owe Africa. This will blow your mind.
Joining me now is Bill Gates, co-founder of Microsoft, which he started in 1975 when he was 19, co-founder of the Gates Foundation, now the largest philanthropic organization in the world. They spend billions on global health with a data-driven approach. The annual Goalkeepers report is out now, tracking progress towards the foundation's sustainable development goals around the world. Mr. Gates, thank you for being here.
Great to talk to you.
Absolutely. The Goalkeepers report I mentioned, it tracks progress towards inequality, poverty, climate change. In the poverty department, world hunger was decreasing, recently spiking again. Your report here out now says what's better than donating food aid is making deeper changes to fix food access. How?
Well, the productivity of African agriculture is only one quarter that of American agriculture. And so by working with those farmers to get them seeds that are better adapted to the weather where they live and improving the crops that are typical there that are often very different from rich world crops, getting them advice, we can raise that productivity. And so Africa's not a gigantic food importer, and they're able to deal with the challenges of population growth and climate change.
Yeah, that was an interesting part of your report. You write about the hybrid corn or magic seeds. How does that work?
Well, the seeds that we have can be improved dramatically. And in fact, in the U.S., the corn seeds are constantly being improved. There's a gigantic market there. In the 1970s, what was called the Green Revolution more than doubled the productivity of rice, wheat, and corn. And yet, we never did the right work on the seeds to make that increase available in Africa. And
so when Bill Gates talks about doing the work on the corn seeds. He is talking about genetically manipulated corn, that when you plant these seeds, it only gives you a single crop, and then you have to replant new seeds. These seeds have been created through Monsanto. And this creates a line of food that I like to call Frankenfood. And this is what Bill Gates is talking about when he talks about the corn in Africa. And they are feeding an entire nation of people with this genetically modified garbage. Now, I put a link into the chat room just a minute ago where Bill Gates, and let me just pull it up because I got so many windows open right now. We did a story. Let's see when I actually published this. We did a story back on July 13th of 2020 called Bill Gates and his Gavi Vaccine Alliance Launching AI-Powered Trust Stamp, Combining a Vaccine and Digital Biometric ID in West Africa. And we told you back in 2020 that Africa had become the testing ground for something called the Trust Stamp Vaccine Record and Payment System. And this is Bill Gates' grand dream of creating a world where through vaccinations you give people digital identification. They're already doing it in Africa right now. It's called the Trust Stamp. And you don't have to take my word for it. Go look it up. But this article that we did in 2020 said the program, which was first launched in late 2018, we'll see Trust Stamp's digital identity platform integrated into the Gavi MasterCard Wellness Plan, a digital vaccination record and identity system that is also linked to MasterCard's click-to-pay system that is powered by its AI and machine learning technology called New Data. And so this is something that they call a world beyond cash, where you have combined digital identification with vaccinations with basically the mark of the beast. And this is the system that they're working on. And the last thing that we'll talk about today that you're going to see in 2023, they have been using Africa for quite some time to do their vaccine experiments, to do their digital identification experiments. Last week, Joe Biden said that he pledged $8 billion taxpayer dollars to the nation of Africa to get them to stop using coal. Now, why would we give any nation $8 billion when we have homeless people in San Francisco, Los Angeles, Philadelphia, New York City? But that $8 billion was only a small part of the $55 billion package that Joe Biden last week said that the United States was going to give to Africa. So, in 2023, we are going to be keeping a close eye on the nation of Africa, because this, more than any other nation on the face of the earth, has been their testing laboratory. And this is where that they tested the vaccines. This is where they tested mRNA technology, where they have been testing digital identification and connecting vaccines with digital ID. They have been using the African people for years to do this. And I believe in 2023, you are going to see this come to the forefront, and it's all going to come. It's going to feel like, wow, all this stuff is coming out of nowhere. They're going to rebuild the temple. They're going to create the two-state solution. Africa is suddenly in the forefront. And then you're going to see the digital identification. You're going to see round number two of the virus attacks, round number two of the mandated vaccines. And you're going to see all of this in 2023. And that's just my personal opinion. But again, based on our track record that the Lord has given us, I believe that that is a fairly accurate assessment of what we have coming. Before I go, please go to BibleBeliever.com. We're halfway through the biggest sale that we've ever had at the bookstore. Just before showtime today, I put the Ruckman Wide Margin Reference Bibles on sale, and we only have five of them left. So if you've been waiting for the right time to get a great price on a Wide Margin Ruckman Reference Bible, go to BibleBeliever.com and check out our end-of-year sale. This sale is going to go on until December 31st, but we are on the verge of running out of many, many different items, including the 2023 NTEB wall calendar. So if I were you, I wouldn't wait. If you've been waiting for a sale, you better go get it now, because this is the last sale that we're going to have until the camp meeting in May of 2023, if we're still here. Thank you so much for being part of Now the End Begins, across America and around the world. Lord willing, we'll see you back here Wednesday night for a brand new Bible study. Not quite sure what we're going to talk about, but I have a number of really good ideas, some suggestions that you guys have made, and hopefully it will be a blessing to you. Have a great week, everybody.
I got to move on. Can y'all help me go down to the country for a minute? Lord, I thank you. Lord, I thank you for my journey. Oh, you brought me from a mighty long way. Lord, I thank you. Lord, I thank you for my journey. Lord, you come on, you're helping. Oh Lord, I thank you. Lord, I thank you for my journey. Oh, you brought me a mighty long way. Lord, I thank you. Yeah. Lord, I thank you for my journey. Lord, you brought me from a long way. Yeah. Lord, you brought me over hills and mountains. Lord, you brought me. Long way, Lord, you brought me over the hills and Lord, you brought me. Yeah. I had to cry sometime, but you brought. Lord, you brought me. Him. Yeah. I had to cry. time, but you